Hi, I'm your host, Megan Whiteside. I'm a lawyer and a mom, and I know how trying to balance the two can leave you feeling depleted and stuck. Are you ready to reframe your mindset, own your power, and set yourself up for success? You're listening to the Mom Life and Law Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Mom, Life, and Law. I am here with my colleague, Ari. I can't wait for you to hear from her today. Ari, if you'll introduce yourself and let the listeners know what you do.
Hi, Megan. Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate being able to connect and communicate with your audience. I am a lawyer, and I am also a mom of two boys. I have been practicing law for 25 years. I started out practicing labor and employment law at a mid-sized Hispanic law firm. And after a couple of years, I transitioned into practicing employee benefits law, which is kind of related, but a little bit different. And that is what I have done ever since. For about 10 years, I have been practicing in Fort Lauderdale. I'm currently a partner with Holland & Knight in the Fort Lauderdale office, where I am also the diversity partner for that office. And besides my work as a lawyer, I am also a certified career coach. And I focus my coaching on diverse attorneys precisely. So I like working with diverse lawyers and helping them navigate their career plan and giving them tools that they can use in order to propel their careers. So that could be, you know, either helping them develop a plan, a career plan, or helping them with questions that they might have with respect to their, you know, promotions, their path to partnership, developing business, that type of thing. And more recently, I launched a podcast. I am the host of the Legally Balanced podcast, which also deals with challenges that diverse attorneys face in their legal careers.
It's a fantastic podcast. I have been tuning in, and I love your mission to help diverse attorneys advance in their careers, and also just you have made yourself a resource to so many lawyers. I'd love to hear more about your path to partnership and then what led you to become a career coach and podcast host.
Yes, well, like I mentioned, I started out at a mid-sized firm, and I was there for 15 years in total, and I started out as a law clerk and went all the way from law clerk to associate to non-equity partner to equity partner, so I basically did the whole process there, and it was an interesting process. One of the things that I noticed, particularly that first time around, was that there are a lot of aspects of the partnership process and there are a lot of aspects of career development that younger lawyers are just not aware of. Many lawyers think that they arrive at a firm, they will do really good work, and they're focused on just billing the hours and doing high quality work. And there are so many other factors that are going to influence your career development and are going to determine whether you make it as a partner, whether you get promoted. And oftentimes lawyers just don't know that. They're not aware of that. And part of what I like doing when I coach people, and of course as part of the podcast as well, is to share information of just little tidbits, nuggets of information that maybe a lot of younger attorneys don't know, and that if I had known them before or I had known them earlier in my career, maybe they would have helped me also in my career development. So there are many things that are unwritten rules that are not published anywhere, nobody tells you, but are very important in managing life in a law firm. And the sooner you learn those things, the better off you're going to be. So I think that part of the mission that I have is to share that information and try to maybe provide information into some of the mysteries of how the career development process operates in a law firm.
Yeah. So what were some of those factors or those unwritten rules that you didn't initially know about, but you later came to learn were really important in your path to partnership?
Well, one of the things that I learned about or that I realized was that you need to always keep in mind that a law firm is a business. And oftentimes lawyers are too focused on doing good work, which is very good. You need to do that. But you also need to understand that it's a business. And at the end of the day, it is also important to be profitable for your firm. And that comes in many forms. It could be in the form of billing, of course, billable hours. It could also be in the form of generating business, of originating business. And it could be also in the form of not wasting the firm's time. Sometimes you have lawyers that get sort of hooked into certain things or practices that are not profitable for the firm. And when I say practices, I don't mean a practice area within the law, but just tendencies, right? If you have, for example, an attorney who spends an eternity doing research when maybe they could have resolved the issue in 1 or 2 hours and they just spend 2 days on it, that is not a productive practice. And so one of the things that I always say is you have to do good work. That is sort of a baseline in the practice of law. But you also have to realize that the law firm is a business and you have to be productive. And the better off that you are in terms of the metrics, the financial metrics that you produce for the firm, then, you know, the better off that is going to reflect in your career development. So that is one important thing that I wish I had known earlier.
Definitely. And I think that applies in big firms and mid-sized firms and in small firms, and arguably more so in small firms, right? You have to find a creative way to market yourself, to bring in business, and to do that where there's a steady stream of business coming in to prove that you're valuable to your partners and to your firm. So I too learned that later in my practice that, you know, not only producing good work, being efficient, but also really having an eye on how can I bring in clients.
Exactly. That's very important. Developing business. And that is another thing that that attorneys need to know from the very beginning. It's never too early to start bringing in business. It is never too early to start cultivating a network and to meeting people and attending events where you can potentially find clients. The other thing that is related to that is that you never know where your client is going to come from. And some people don't realize that any situation in which you find yourself can actually be a business development opportunity. If you have children and they go to school and you meet the parents of other kids in their classrooms, those parents could potentially be clients. And that has happened to me. I actually had a situation where my youngest son is in school. There is this other child that has been there with him for 3 years. We attended birthday parties for kids together. We have been to school events together. We have communicated in mom chats about all sorts of kids-related activities. And then all of a sudden, the mom sends me a message 3 years after I met her. And she says, "Hey, my husband's company needs a lawyer. I told my husband that you work in the area that he's looking for assistance with. Do you think you can connect with him and talk to him about the specific issue that he had?" And I'm like, "Of course, I'm happy to talk to him." And, you know, a couple of weeks later, he was my client. So you never know when you're going to meet someone who's going to be your client or is going to refer to you a client. So it's always good to be aware and have your eyes open, because any opportunity, any situation you find yourself in could be a potential business development opportunity for you.
Yeah, Absolutely. Anyone you meet. And it's not necessarily the people that you meet, but the people in their networks, right? If you Right. become the go-to lawyer, or you may be the only lawyer that people know. You know, I have found that in some of my, my local mom's group. For a few other moms, I'm the only lawyer that they know. And so I get questions about all sorts of areas of law. And what I do is say, well, I don't practice in that area, but I know someone who does, and I refer them to another lawyer mom. That's really been my mission, to really increase my network of lawyer moms so I can refer to other women. And so Right. it's not necessarily the people you meet are going to be your clients, but it's sort of like being the go-to. You never know how it's going to help generate business for your network, but also for you.
That is absolutely true. Something else that I also tell lawyers, younger lawyers, and something that I wish I would have done even more intensely than I actually did, is to start planning my career as soon as possible. Start making a plan from the beginning. I've met too many people who say, oh, I am not going to think about my career at this point, or how to develop my career at this point, because I just want to work really hard and I want to bill hours and produce good work. But my point is, and has been, that it is never too early to start thinking about the way that your career is going to develop. And it's never too early to have a plan.
So when you talk about how it's never too early to focus on career development, to start having a plan, kind of put that together, what does that look like, right? So for the young lawyer mom who's listening, who's maybe, you know, an associate who hasn't even started thinking about going for partner because she's overwhelmed. She's just got a ton of hours to bill. She's working at home with kids at home during a pandemic. I don't have time to plan, you know, what I'm going to do to try to make partner. What do you say to her? What can she do now?
Well, what I would say to her is that if you do not make a plan, your career is just going to move forward on autopilot. And that means that you're just going to be billing and working on your next task or your next assignment. And it could be costly for you, because if you do not plan your career and you just do whatever next assignment comes to you without giving any thought as to how that pertains to your long-term goals, you might be investing time in maybe tasks or in projects that are not going to propel your career forward. Even if it's just a couple of hours that you take to evaluate your career, to work on a career plan, that could have long-term effects. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. You can just say, okay, so during a weekend, I am going to just take half a day to think about what my long-term goals are, what my intermediate goals are, what my short-term goals are, where do I see myself professionally in 1, 5, and 10 years. And by understanding where you want to end up in 1, 5, or 10 years, you're going to understand which activities to engage in, what matters to work on, what people to work with, in order to end up where you want to be. The problem with not doing a career plan or not thinking about it early is that you will continue for years and years just going with the flow. And it could very well happen that after several years, you realize that the direction in which the flow has taken you is not the direction that you wanted to be or that you wanted to go. And then you end up with a different result than what you would have wanted to end up with. So it is better, in my opinion, to sit down at the beginning of your career or where you are right now and say, where do I want to be in 1, 5, or 10 years? What do I want my career to look like? And then think about the intermediate steps that you need in order to get there. And that is going to give you a framework. It's going to give you perspective. That way, when you are deciding the type of work that you're going to be doing, the people you're going to work with, you are going to be making choices that are aligned with that plan that you already have, as opposed to just working on whatever comes your way. So if you have a plan and you execute on that plan, the likelihood of getting to your ultimate goal, it's going to be much, much more probable than if you didn't. So I think that making the time to spend, you know, a few hours planning can get you a long way. And when you plan, it's always important also to think about the individuals, the people that could affect that result that you're looking to achieve. And this could be, you know, individuals in your firm that maybe can help you get on the type of cases that you would want to get or work on the type of matters that you would want to work. We could be talking about people who can introduce you to the right persons in your firm that could help you propel your career. So if you give a little bit of thought to your career plan and to where you want to be, you're, instead of just doing any work that comes by, you can steer your career a little bit so that you are working with the people that are going to be in a position to help you, for example, get a promotion or to help you get more work so that you have a full plate, or that can help you work on important matters with important clients that are going to give you a lot of visibility within your firm. So just a little bit of thought. It doesn't have to be a huge investment of time, but if you do plan a little bit, it could have just a spectacular effect on your career, on where you end, and it can make a world of a difference.
Yeah, just having a little bit of intention and yes. Then taking actions that are in line with that intention instead of just, like you said, go on autopilot. It's getting you one step at a time in a particular direction as opposed to just going with whatever comes your way. I love that.
Right. Right, exactly. Intentionality, it's very important.
Intentionality, yes. So for the woman who's listening who has said, okay, I haven't been intentional. I'm going to make a 1-year, a 5-year, a 10-year plan. And maybe that 1-year plan is I want to raise, you know, and that 5-year plan is I want to make partner. And that 10-year plan is a book of business, a revenue goal, a number of clients type of goal, right? But she doesn't know where to start, right? She doesn't have a mentor or a sponsor within her firm or organization. She's lost. Can you give some examples of practical steps that that woman could take now?
Well, the first thing that I always say is put pen to paper, or, you know, write it down, because a lot of the times you have thoughts about what you want or what you aspire to accomplish professionally, but then you don't put it down, you know, the thoughts go away. And then 3 months later, you're saying to yourself, oh, what was it that I thought about that I wanted to do in order to get a promotion or whatever your goal is. So putting pen to paper is always important. That's why I really do believe on creating a career plan, a written career plan, which is kind of like a business plan, but for your career. So to me, it's always important to write it down. When you write it down, there's a better chance that things are going to happen. But after you write it down, then the second thing that I think is very important is always to look for the people that are going to help you make it happen. Law firms are kind of community-based places of employment in the sense that there are a lot of people, sometimes who you know and how you get along with people are factors that are very important in the environment and in helping you achieve your goals. So every time that I work on a career plan, what I do is, you know, first of all, determine, of course, what are your 1-year goals, 5-year goals, 10-year goals. But then immediately after, think about the people that could help you at each of those stages. Once you identify the people that can help you in those stages, then the question is, do you know them? Do you not know them? If you don't know them, how do you get to know them? And in the example that you just set forth, you were talking about a person who had a 5-year goal of becoming a partner. So for that person, I would say, for that specific goal, who could help you become a partner? Do you know the people who are members of the partnership committee at your firm? If you know them, have you worked with them? Has the experience been good when you worked with them? Were there any issues when you worked with them? If you don't know them, then who can make an introduction? Who can get you on a case with them? Who can get you on a matter with them? So that you have that exposure to those people who are the decision makers at your firm. So that is very important. If you had any issues with any of those folks that you know are going to be making decisions on your career, then you have to make a plan to address that. So when you make your career plan, not only do you set goals and you figure out who can help you achieve them, but you can also, or you should also, think about the obstacles that you can encounter in that, in achieving that goal. And in this example, if you had a bad experience working with someone who is on the committee that determines partnerships, then you have to figure out a plan to fix that situation. So you might want to get yourself on another matter with that person. You want to maybe have them staff you on something else, on something new. And then when you're staffed in that new matter, you have to work really hard to overcome any shortcomings that they might have identified or that they might have told you about in your work. So this also makes me think of another thing that I normally tell people, which is that it is always important to start dealing with your career plan and with thinking about the development of your career as soon as possible. Some people think that they're going to think about partnership the year before that they become eligible for partner. But then if you had a problem with someone at your firm because they did not like your performance or for any reason, your window of opportunity to fix that situation is much less open, or is much shorter than if you had thought about this several years in advance and then you had maybe more years to deal with a problem to fix it, to correct it. Maybe you had more opportunities to get staffed on another matter with them and to, you know, be able to show them a different side of you. So the earlier that you start working on your plan and the earlier that you start preparing for whatever goal it is that you have in your career, the better equipped that you're going to be and the more chances that you have to deal with all of the obstacles that are always going to be in your way. So it's very hard to find a career plan where no obstacles are identified, where the person just has a clean slate to achieve whatever they want to accomplish. Normally, when you work on the career plan, you're going to find that there are challenges that you can identify up front. And the more time that you have to address those challenges to correct them, to deal with them, then the better you are going to be in the process.
Yeah, it's always less pressure when you give yourself adequate amount of time to deal with the challenges that come up. And there will be challenges. That's just the nature of practicing law with other people, right?
That is absolutely right. That is absolutely right. Yeah.
So with the Legally Balanced podcast and just with conversations that you and I have had, you are passionate about helping diverse attorneys in their career development, right? And the, you know, helping them navigate either the differences or the challenges that they face. Can you speak to a little bit, you know, why that is such a passion for you and what you're doing about it?
Yes. Well, like I mentioned earlier, I am the diversity partner for the Fort Lauderdale office of the firm, and I also work for a Hispanic-owned law firm. And so I am very familiar with the challenges that diverse lawyers have in their career path. And also, when you look at the statistics that are being published and have been published recently, you notice that there are a lot of diverse attorneys that are either leaving the workforce or leaving the practice of law, actually, or who are discontent with the environment in the law firm that they work. And I have come to realize through the years and through working with diverse attorneys that a lot of the challenges that they face may come from the fact that they don't have some of the tools that maybe other attorneys do have. And you and I have spoken about this before, and one of the things that that I have noticed is that the likelihood that a diverse attorney comes from a family of lawyers or from a family of high-level professionals that can help them navigate their career is generally lower than the likelihood that a non-diverse attorney will have those family members or friends or people in their network who will be their natural mentors, right? So generally, you will find that divorce attorneys don't come from family of lawyers. They don't have people in their networks that can tell them how law firm works or how working in these very challenging professional environment operates. And they will therefore find themselves in a disadvantage. They will maybe not know how to navigate a lot of the situations in a law firm. So that is part of what I have seen throughout the years, that diverse lawyers maybe do not have the sponsors, the mentors, the network that non-diverse lawyers have. And because they do not have these resources available to them, they will be at a disadvantage with respect to non-diverse lawyers who do come from a family of attorneys, and maybe their parents or other people have told them how to operate within a firm. So with the Legally Balanced podcast, one of the things that I have been trying to do is to provide tidbits of information that are specifically geared towards diverse lawyers, and that maybe give them a little bit of that information, that underground information that sometimes it's hard to come across at law firms unless you have a mentor or a sponsor or a family member who knows their way around this environment, and kind of give them these tidbits of information so that they're better equipped to navigate this world, this law firm world. And it's very sad, but sometimes excellent diverse lawyers can make simple mistakes in the law firm environment, maybe, in the way that they conduct themselves in a meeting or in the way that they produce certain work product that doesn't reflect really on the quality of their work and on their abilities and on the capabilities that they have. They just didn't know better because nobody told them. Whereas a non-diverse attorney who comes from maybe a family of lawyers might have their parents or someone in their network tell them, when you're in the situation, do this, do not do that, or you should talk to so-and-so in order to get ahead, or you should be a part of committees, or you should make sure that you work with the right people in your firm. And sometimes those little things make a huge amount of difference. So if I could share some information about what I have learned during 25 years, and I can, you know, tell diverse lawyers, hey, it's important for you to figure out who the important partners are in your firm and work with them, or it is important for you to make sure that you meet all of your financial obligations and all of your financial metrics at the firm, you know, your billable hours, your collections, that type of thing. It's more important than you think. If I could share that information with diverse lawyers and let them know what they should be focusing on, the pitfalls that maybe they should try to avoid, the landmines that are in their way, then that is a good thing. And I would definitely feel like it would be helpful to someone who maybe doesn't have another source of insight.
Yeah. I think information is power, right? And no matter where you work as a lawyer, whether it's a law firm or other environment, there are always politics at play.
Right.
And so I think that what you're doing and the message that you're sharing is really going to benefit so many people, just to start to be, like you've said this whole time, right? Coming up with a plan, thinking strategically and intentionally. And I think you're going to change a lot of careers. Or you already have. You already have, I know, with your coaching.
Yes. I am coaching attorneys, mainly associates who are in that situation where they want to take control over their career and feel like they are progressing in a manner that is more likely to get them to their final goal. And sometimes it's being partners. Sometimes it's just getting into the practice area that they want to work in. Sometimes it's just working with the right people, getting on cases with important partners in their firm who they know can help them and become their sponsors at some point in the future. So yes, I am helping them with that. And it is very interesting how sometimes, going back to the topic we were talking about before, how sometimes they're very unaware to things that seem natural or seem normal to people who have been 25 years in the law firm. And it kind of takes you back to those days when you were starting to practice, and you realize that there was so much that you just did not know about practicing law. And like you said, politics is very important, more important than people think in law firms. And there are so many things that as a young attorney starting out in your career, you don't know, and that can get you into a lot of trouble. And so having somebody who can sort of help you steer your career and tell you, watch out with doing this or that, or try to navigate your career in a certain way, that could be very, very, you know, it could be very valuable. And I've had a lot of lawyers say to me when I speak with them about, and these are maybe mid-level or even partner-level lawyers, that sometimes I speak with them and they said, wow, I would have wanted to have that information that you're giving to people when I was starting out in my career, so that I could have avoided certain pitfalls, could have avoided certain landmines in my career path. So to the extent that I can help people, providing them information that could help them, that is very important to me. And I'm very happy to be doing that.
I love it. I love it. And if somebody needs help with their career trajectory, if they want to come up with a more concrete plan but are just lost, how do they find you? How do they work with you? And for anyone who's just interested in your guidance on your podcast, tell us more.
Well, the podcast is called Legally Balanced. So the Legally Balanced podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and on other podcast platforms. So that you can find there. I also have a website, legallybalanced.com, and there you can get more information about the different career coaching programs. I do work with people one-on-one with their, you know, career plans and with custom issues that they might have, you know. So I do offer 6-session coaching packages and 12-session coaching packages for people who have specific issues and just want, you know, custom help. But I also have the Path to Partnership workshop, which is a workshop that is specifically designed to help associates who want to become partners at law firms. And it basically takes them through the process that firms normally follow when they are determining whether to elevate somebody to partner or not. And it helps them through a series of lessons and workbooks to create a plan, but for a promotion. So this is a promotion plan as opposed to a partner career plan. And that is a program that's also available through the Legally Balanced webpage.
Awesome. And I will include all of that information in the show notes so that if anybody would like that help, they can easily find you. Ari, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
It has been a pleasure talking with you too. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And to everyone who is listening, until next week, take care. Lawyer moms, we made it through another episode of the Mom Life and Law podcast. I'm so glad you're here. If today's episode resonated with you, I ask that you share it with another lawyer mom in your life. And if you haven't already done so, please leave a rating and review in your podcast app of choice. Until next week, remember, you are more than enough. You have a superpower that this world needs, and you are the perfect mother to your children, flaws and all. Take care.